Welcome to the local church here at Bethel, where we gather because of the gospel, Jesus in our place. And if you think that's simply an introduction, I want to remind you today that this is why we gather. We gather because Christ indeed took our place on the cross. And we had a young man who gave his life to Jesus Christ by faith, through grace, before the service even started today. So we're going to flip the script. We're not going to offer an invitation only at the end. If you are here right now and you feel the weight of your sin weighing on your conscience, if you have walked in through the guilt that the world offers, the shame of your transgression, we invite you to come to Christ by faith. It's not of yourself. It is God's gift. If that is you, if you are dead in your sins and trespasses, we want you to know that the gift of God is salvation through his son. So I'm going to pray. And if you need to come to faith in Jesus Christ, do not wait. Do not delay. Repent of your sins. Run to the cross where you will find that his grace is sufficient. That's the Bible's way of saying your sins are great, but his grace is greater. Let me pray for us. Father, right now as we gather, there are some who have yet to taste and see that you are good. Lord, would this be the day, would this be the moment of their salvation? May they feel the burden of their sin. Lord, let them feel the separation that their sin has bought them. And Father, at the same time, remind them of the redemption that Jesus has purchased on the cross on their behalf. Father, right now, would they repent of their sins? Would they trust you? And would you change their life? Not the lost alone, but for all who claim the name of Jesus, may your word change our lives, that we would look more like Jesus today than we ever have before. Lord, this is my prayer. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. And amen. Well, as Pastor Noah has already mentioned, we have some young ones in our audience, in our gathering. This is what we call Family Day. So the fifth Sunday of every month, we gather everyone here. It's uncomfortable. It's loud. Let me just kind of share this. So adults, it's actually probably more uncomfortable for you than it is the kids. So you can get over it. Hey, they make noise all the time. They're like, what's y'all's problem? But we want the church to know this. No matter how old you are, young or old, the word of God will change your life. This is why we do what we do. So adults, let's just let the kids know how thankful we are they're here today. Let's give them a round of applause. Hey, children, let me say this. If you hear an adult crying, that's okay. Just take them out, walk them around the lobby, pat them on the back. They'll be okay. Today we begin, as Luke says, Jesus says in the book of Luke, that he has set his face to Jerusalem. Today as a church, we set our face towards Jerusalem. If you have your Bible with you, I hope that you do. Join me in the book of Mark, chapter 8, and we will read from verse 31. We are stepping into one of the most beautiful stories ever told. The Bible calls this euangelion, the good news of Jesus Christ, that Christ died on the cross according to the scriptures for your sins, that he was buried, that he rose again according to the scripture, and that he appeared to many as proof and vindication that he is the Son of God. This is the story that we reminisce this week. And you might think, well, Pastor, it's Easter. Who doesn't know this story? Well, we'll find out in the book of Mark that it was astonishing to the early church. Even the disciples would say, what is this thing? And I ask today that we would understand again the good news of Jesus Christ. So if you think, well, who doesn't understand it? There are moments in our life where we do not get it spiritually. And the Word of God helps soothe our hard hearts. As we open the Word today, we're reminded that following Christ is not easy. Because the gospel is not always comfortable. And it's designed to be that way. At times it brings bewilderment, not only because of what it reveals about Jesus Christ, but what it reveals about us. Because the gospel has a requirement that to give your life to Jesus Christ, that you say to him, Lord, I will follow you no matter the cost. And today, may the demands of being a disciple captivate our soul. Mark chapter 8. Verse 31, why don't we get it? Then Jesus began to teach them that it was necessary. We'll come back to that word. That it was necessary for the Son of Man to suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, be killed, and rise after 3 days. This is the gospel. That he would suffer, that he would die, that he would rise again. And you might say, well, who doesn't know this? Who doesn't get it? I'll show you one person. He spoke openly about this. Peter, the disciple, took Jesus aside. And he began to rebuke him because he thought that Jesus had misspoke. But turning around and looking at his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, because you are not thinking about God's concerns, but about human concerns. This is the first time in the Gospel of Mark, the first of three times, that Jesus speaks openly, boldly, plainly about the gospel. Previously, Peter has heard Jesus speak in parables. But now Jesus is very straightforward. Jesus says, I will suffer, I will die, and I will rise again. So if you wonder, well, Peter is rebuking Jesus because he heard it incorrectly, that's not what is happening. Peter rebukes Jesus because he heard it correctly, as we will see in a moment. His heart protests because he does not like what he hears. You see, the cross does not fit the expectation of what the Lord is going to do. Now, before we jump into this, if you ask, well, did this have to happen? Did Jesus have to die? Did he have to suffer? Why would God go to such great lengths to redeem us? Did this have to happen? Well, Jesus answers that question. He actually says here in verse 31, he says, it is necessary. Now, there's a word in Greek. It's called the divine day. D-E-I. It means that it has to happen. It is necessary. It will come to pass. So we're just going to practice speaking Greek together. On the count of three, I just want you to say day. Not duh, not bruh. Day. Sounds like May. Like today is the day. So on the count of three, we're going to speak it all together. We're going to speak Greek together. Day on the count of three. One, two, three. Day. You see, I knew Baptists could speak different languages. God himself says it is necessary. If we say, well, did this have to happen? Yes, day means that it was God's ordained path. This is Jesus' way of saying to Peter and to you and I, hey, Golgotha was not an accident. I was sharing with a young man earlier today. I said, if you sin tomorrow, will you still be saved? He said, well, I don't know because I don't think Jesus could save us from tomorrow's sins. I said, well, when did Jesus die? He said, well, thousands of years ago. I said, well, he planned from eternity past to redeem you because it was necessary. This is God's plan. And I just want you to hear this personally. Your salvation was not an accident. Jesus purposefully walked to the cross for you and I and our sins. So if you ever ask, does Jesus even care about me? Absolutely. Because he necessarily walked to the cross willingly so that you might drink the cup of salvation. This is not an accident. Golgotha, the cross, was God's plan because of your sin and my sin. And Peter hears this and he says, but I don't like this plan. Peter hears the gospel plainly. Jesus must suffer. Jesus must die. He must rise again. And Peter said, Jesus, you've made a mistake. Peter takes Jesus aside to rebuke the teacher, and the teacher rebukes the pupil. And so if you ever wonder, well, why don't we get it sometimes spiritually? It is often difficult in our lives to hear the word of the Lord when God doesn't meet our expectations. You see, the Messiah that Peter wanted was not the Messiah that Jesus offered. Peter said, Jesus, I had different expectations when I put down my nets to follow you. And Jesus says to Peter, Peter, follow me or not. But to follow me means that you do not choose the Jesus you want. You follow the Jesus that he is. And I have to believe that there are some of us today that you struggle to trust the gospel fully because you have expectations that have been unmet in your life. Peter's not alone, is he? We often can feel let down by God because we say, God, why did it have to be this way? God, I thought when I followed you, all my troubles would go away. God, why do I have to suffer? God, why do the unrighteous succeed? Why do the righteous find difficulty? God, you have let me down. And if you have ever uttered those words in your mouth or if you have felt those in your soul, you are not alone. Peter finds it difficult to trust the gospel because his expectations of God are not who God is. Now, what Peter will find out that the Lord Jesus is greater than any of man's expectations. But if you are struggling today to live by faith because God has not met your expectations, you are not alone. And I pray that the Lord would shatter your hurt and that you would find that Jesus is what you need. So if you ask, well, why don't we get it? If you only follow a Christ who meets your expectations, you will not have the Christ who saves. If you only follow the Christ who meets your expectations, you will never follow the Jesus who actually saves. He alone is worthy to receive glory and honor. But church, faith begins when we cast down our own designs and entrust ourselves wholly to the one whose wisdom is greater, whose grace is sufficient, and whose purposes are always good for our lives. Has God let you down? Run to him by faith and find that he is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will do. Unmet expectations is one reason we simply don't get the gospel. There's a second reason, and that's simply disobedience. Disobedience. Look at verse 32. Jesus spoke openly about this. That means Peter understood correctly. It's not a hearing issue. We'll see, it is a heart issue. But Peter heard the gospel. Peter's like some of you. You have heard the Easter story year after year after year after year, and yet you remain unchanged. It's not a hearing issue. It's a hearing issue. It's not a physical abnormality. It's a spiritual deficiency. And disobedience in our life causes the same struggle. The disciple begins to instruct the Savior on what salvation should look like. Now, I think there's some tongue-in-cheek writing. You might not know this, but Mark, the Gospel of Mark, many believe that Peter was his source of writing. So can you imagine the Holy Spirit inspiring Mark to write the gospel, and Peter's there telling him the story. And Peter's like, Mark, the Spirit's inspiring you, but I need to tell you the time that I rebuked Jesus. And Mark's like, you did what? That wasn't wise. And Peter says, yeah, let me tell you what happened. Peter rebukes Jesus, and Jesus begins to rebuke the disciple. Now, we're going to get hung up on these words, so let me walk through them. Many of you know what Jesus says to Peter. He says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Not a word of warm embrace. Get behind me, Satan. And often the emphasis on the word that we read it this way. Get behind me, Satan. The emphasis is on the wrong syllable. You can go back and figure that out. But don't forget that Jesus said to Peter, get behind me. Because there's a disobedient issue going on here. The words, get behind me, are the words that Jesus would say to a disciple. It's Jesus' way of saying to Peter, Peter, you need to come after me, not before me. It's the language of discipleship. When Jesus says to Peter, he rebukes him, but when he says, get behind me, Jesus is repositioning Peter. He said, Peter, you're walking in front of me when you should be behind me. To follow Christ means that we will walk behind him no matter the cost. He's saying to Peter, you are out of place. You are trying to lead when you are called to follow. Instead of standing in front of Jesus, correcting his mission, Peter is called to get back behind him. And this is where we miss the gospel in our own lives, if I'm honest. We want to walk ahead of Jesus. We want to define our lives to shape our outcomes and to avoid the cost. And that's not only a personal issue, dilemma. This is family day. Parents, let me speak to you very clearly. For some of our children, the greatest impediment to the mission field is their parent. Sometimes the reason that young boys and young girls will not go on the mission field is because they have a parent saying, it is unsafe, you cannot do it. Oh, that we would not get in front of Jesus Christ. Let me just speak to the parents. the greatest safety that your child will ever know is to walk behind Jesus Christ. And if they are following Jesus in Iran today, they are safer in Iran under the shadow of the wings of Jesus Christ than they are in St. Clair County under the safety of your hands. And I would rather my child be safe eternally than unsafe eternally in my house. Oh, that we would be a people who live in obedience to the gospel, that we would follow him. We don't get it when we resist hard teachings in Scripture. We know that the Bible says, go and make disciples. We just don't want us to do it. Oh, that we would be a people who do not hire mercenaries for the gospel. May we not support missionaries and say, good luck. We're glad that you're going and we're not. That's not going. No, that we would be a people who go, who serve, who give, even when it costs us. What happens when you read things in the Word that you find difficult? Will you still follow Christ? Will you suffer for the sake of the Lord? We redefine obedience to fit our comfort rather than God's commands. We avoid sacrifice while we still want the benefits of discipleship. We question God's plan when it includes suffering or delay. If we're honest, we don't get it in our lives. And in those moments, you can hear the words of Jesus echo in your soul. Josh, get behind me. Get behind me. Get behind me. This is the position of a disciple. Josh, follow me. Are you following Christ today? But I don't want to forget about the Satan part, because I don't think Peter forgot about that. He also says, get behind me, Satan. I think there's a third reason we simply don't understand the gospel sometimes. And that is when we are unregenerate. We are unregenerate. Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. This is striking. This word is never used of a human in Scripture except Peter. He has the unique privilege of being the only person in the world that we know of that Jesus called Satan. And you thought you were having a bad day. Satan, the word Satan means the adversary, the one who fights against the purposes of the Lord. When you stand in the way of God's will, you are doing the enemy's bidding. And we do not understand the gospel, some of us, because you're unregenerate. You are living according to the ways of Satan, not to the ways of Christ. And if you think, well, that's a harsh thing to say. I'm in church today. This is a great way to lose an audience. I'm better than that, Pastor. You, Pastor, don't know who I am. Hold that thought. Look who killed Jesus. He said that I must suffer many things by the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. In that day, that was the best of humanity. It wasn't the worst of humanity that killed Jesus Christ. It was the best the world could offer. So if you think that you are the cream of the crop, not even the cream of the world's crop is good enough in themselves to find grace. Let me remind you, who was Jesus speaking of when he called them Satan? Not a rhetorical question. Peter, not Judas, not number 12 of the disciples, not Simon the Zealot, number 11, not Thaddeus, not Philip. Peter, numero uno. the leader of the church, the same Peter that Jesus said, I'm going to give you, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. Peter, because you have confessed that I am the Messiah, the Son of the living God. When you are unregenerate, unregenerate simply means a heart that is unconverted by the grace of Jesus Christ, you will never find salvation. John Chrysostom said, the soul that is not enlightened by the Spirit remains in darkness, even if it seems to see. So for all who had your Easter pictures taken, that will not save you. If you are unregenerate, you will never taste the divine grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you might say, Pastor, how can I change? Well, the first way that we get it is to cherish the gospel. To cherish the gospel. Which means that you believe that Jesus suffered on your behalf. That you believe that he died on the cross for your sins. That you believe that he rose again. I know what you're going to say. Well, I've heard that before. Well, hearing it plainly is not the issue. You have to receive this not by hearing, not by might, not by reasoning. You are saved by grace through faith. Have you received the gospel by faith alone? This is what makes dead sinners come alive. And if you have received the grace of God, then something should stir in your heart every time that we gather. To say, God, I will live for your glory until you call me home. Do you cherish Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Hey, let me speak to our kids because I hear them making noises. Lean in, boys and girls. Adults, you too. Pay attention. This way, adults. To our little ones, you are not too young to cherish Jesus Christ. Do not wait until you are old in your sin. Because this is what we know about the gospel. Even a child's sin separates you from the love of God. And the grace that changes adults' hearts is the same grace that changes your heart. Do you cherish the gospel? I think there's a second way that we need to get it today, and that's what Peter heard. Some of you today are ahead of Christ. You're rebuking him with your lives. You're saying, God, I will get saved, but your word does not have authority in my life. God, you can save me, but I'm not going overseas. God, you can save me, but I will not give generously. God, you can save me, but I am not working in the nursery. Woo! I will do anything, but not that. And you need to hear again, get behind me. Because the promise we make when we confess Christ as Savior is that we will follow, not lead, not run ahead, that we will follow Jesus no matter the cost. Are you behind him today? And I pray that this next week, as Passion Week weighs upon you, that you would reposition your life every day and you say, Jesus, put me where I belong. And that is behind you yet again. Lastly, because I hear that our time is short. That wasn't the voice of the Lord. That was the cry of an infant. Some of you are unregenerate. you're hard-hearted, you're hard of hearing, and today for the first time, you have heard the gospel plainly, openly. Can I just tell you, just because I care, it's not too late for you. It's not. You're not so much of a sinner. You are not so far from grace that God can't reach down from heaven today and save you right where you are. But it's going to take something. It's going to take repentance. That is you saying to God, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. Forgive me. Maybe for the first time, you need to cry out to God. And God to say, Lord, I've been doing things my way and look what it's gotten me. The only thing that you bring to the table when you come to faith is your sin. And you need to own that. And to say, God, I bring nothing to you. And I can just hear God kind of smiling from heaven and saying, hey, Josh, I knew that, by the way. And yet, I let Jesus die in your place. Would today be the day where your hard heart becomes a soft heart for Christ, where you turn from your sin and that you believe Christ for the first time? Because that's why you're here. You are here because the gospel was spoken plainly to you. So how do we respond? If you are unregenerate, come to faith. Do not die in your sin and your trespass. Do not go to hell over the love of God. Come to faith. Are you running ahead of God? Would the words, get behind me, Satan, be a caution? Get in your rightful place. Get behind Jesus. And do you cherish Jesus like you should? Is he the apple of your eye? Is he the pearl of great price? Is Jesus in first place? If not, would Christ reposition us all today? And maybe instead of saying to the world, why don't you get it? That as we worship, we simply ask our hearts, Josh, why didn't you get it today? Before we leave here, may we understand yet again the grace, the mercy, and the love of God for sinners such as us. Father,